Welcome to HN Pod, your daily deep dive into the top stories and discussions from Hacker News. I am Sarah, and alongside me is my co-host.
Hey everyone, it is great to be here for episode number 480. Today we are covering the top stories from yesterday, August 6, 2026. And we have a really fascinating mix of topics today. We are looking at everything from applying classical economics to Mario Kart, to some major shifts in the AI landscape with AMD etching models directly into silicon, plus a look at why GitHub was giving so many of us a headache yesterday.
We will also be talking about a gritty, foul-mouthed botanist who wants you to kill your lawn, and the latest AI leaderboard shakeup, where Qwen 3.8 Max just took the number one spot for agentic workflows.
Let us actually start right there with the GitHub outage, since I know that disrupted a lot of workflows yesterday. The post that hit the front page was simply linking to the GitHub Stratus page, showing that actions and pages were experiencing degraded availability. It was a pretty severe incident. Runners were getting stuck in an idle state, webhook triggers were throttled, and even Copilot code review and the coding agent were failing.
Right, and they had to pause migrations using the GitHub Enterprise Importer just to mitigate the load. What I found really interesting was the discussion on Hacker News about why this seems to be happening more frequently. A user named Zehava pointed out that they have been using GitHub since 2009, and they do not recall it going down nearly as much as it has over the last year. They theorize that it's directly correlated with the massive increase in LLM usage.
Yeah, that sparked a massive debate. You had one camp saying like GitHub is buckling under the weight of AI agents just constantly pushing code, running tests, and triggering infinite loops of CI/CD pipelines. A user named Cortessoft had a great operations perspective on this. They pointed out that this is a classic high-load environment pattern. You design a system that scales horizontally, it works perfectly for years, and then you hit a tipping point. Suddenly, you don't have the excess capacity to handle load spikes, and any small failure cascades into a massive outage.
But then you have the other camp in the comments pointing the finger directly at Microsoft and the migration to Azure. Several commenters noted that GitHub was arguably more stable when they ran on their own hosted infrastructure. There's a strong sentiment in the community, echoed by a user named Esconum, that Microsoft has a habit of what they called slopifying the products they acquire.
It's the classic Hacker News infrastructure debate. Is it the AI agents hammering the API, or is it the corporate mandate to migrate everything to Azure? Honestly, it's probably a combination of both. When you have thousands of autonomous coding agents submitting pull requests and triggering actions simultaneously, while you're also trying to migrate legacy infrastructure, things are going to break.
Speaking of AI agents, that transitions perfectly into our next story. AMD just acquired an AI chip startup called Talos, and their approach to inference is completely wild. Instead of relying on high bandwidth memory to store model weights, they are etching the weights directly into the silicon.
This blew my mind. They are creating model-specific integrated circuits. The startup revealed a test chip earlier this year, fabbed on a TSMC's 6-nanometer process, and it served Meta's Llama 3.1 8B model at almost 17,000 tokens a second. That is not a typo. 17,000 tokens a second. That was roughly 48 times faster than NVIDIA GPUs at the time.
The catch, of course, is that once you deploy the chip, you are stuck with that specific model. If you want to update the base model, you have to do a physical respin of the chips. They claim you only need to change two layers of metal, so it is not starting from scratch, but it is still a hardware update for a software problem.
The comments on this one were fascinating. A lot of people were shocked that Apple did not buy them first. A user named Anthony Pask pointed out that if you could burn a small, highly capable model directly into an iPhone, you would get incredible latency and almost zero battery drain. It would be the ultimate edge AI play.
Instead, AMD scooped them up. And the speculation is that AMD will pair these chips with their Instinct accelerators. You would use GPUs for the heavy prompt processing and KV cache, and then hand off the actual token generation to the Talos chips.
But what really caught my attention in the comments was the existential dread about what 17,000 tokens a second actually means for us as developers. A user named QuidDortDyne painted this picture where right now we spend time prompting an agent and waiting for it to do its thing. But if the agent is instantaneous, the human becomes the absolute bottleneck. You could have a swarm of specialized agents refactoring, debugging, and writing features in milliseconds. At that speed, quantity becomes a quality all its own.
It really changes the paradigm of test time scaling. Right now, we limit how long a model can think because compute is expensive and slow. If token generation is virtually free and instantaneous, you can let an agent think through thousands of possible solutions before it ever shows you the final result.
And who is going to be providing those models? That brings us to our third story. The Artificial Analysis Agentic Index just updated, and Qwen 3.8 Max is now ranked as the best overall model for agentic workflows, beating out the latest from OpenAI and Anthropic.
For those who might not follow the model names closely, Qwen is developed by Alibaba. The Artificial Analysis Index is highly respected because it aggregates multiple complex benchmarks like Humanities Last Exam, SW Bench for coding, and Long Horizon Business Operations. Seeing a Chinese model take the absolute top spot for complex, multi-step agentic tasks is a massive milestone.
The Hacker News thread on this was a real reality check. A user named JJCM summarized it perfectly, saying the main takeaway is that China has completely caught up. The state-of-the-art models are now so close in intelligence that you really just have to feel them out for your specific use case.
Another user, Monster Truck, shared a really candid experience. They finally spent $15 on DeepSeek, another Chinese model, and said it completely outperformed their $200 a month US-based enterprise subscriptions on complex coding projects. They mentioned there were no annoying cache errors, no refusals to write code, just pure performance. There is a growing realization in the developer community that the narrative of US absolute dominance in AI is fracturing.
We also have to talk about the open weight ecosystem. People are incredibly excited for the 27 billion parameter version of this Qwen model. The previous 3.6 version is already considered the king of local models. If you can run the smartest agentic model in the world locally on your own hardware, or maybe eventually on an etched piece of silicon from AMD, the whole software landscape changes overnight.
It is a lot of heavy industry-shifting news. Let us pivot to something a bit more relatable, but equally nerdy. Our fourth story is a blog post by Antoine Meyerowitz titled Mario Meets Pareto.
I loved this one. So in Mario Kart 8, you have to choose a driver, a kart body, tires, and a glider. Each choice affects your stats, like speed, acceleration, handling, and weight. There are tens of thousands of possible combinations. The author asks a simple question. How do you mathematically find the best build?
And the answer is the Pareto frontier, a concept proposed over a century ago by economist Vilfredo Pareto. The idea is that you want to eliminate any choice that is objectively worse than another choice in every category. For example, the author points out that you should never pick the character Koopa. Why? Because Cat Peach has a higher top speed with the exact same acceleration, and Toadette has better acceleration with the exact same speed. Koopa is what economists call a strictly dominated option.
Once you eliminate all the dominated options, you are left with the Pareto frontier. These are the builds where you cannot improve one stat, like speed, without sacrificing another stat, like acceleration. The math does not tell you which of these final builds to pick. That depends on your playstyle, but it filters out all the garbage choices.
The Hacker News discussion took this fun gaming concept and immediately applied it to software engineering. A user named Jerf made a brilliant point. They said that in software development, you constantly hear people say things like, "We cannot have more security without giving up user experience."
Right. And Jerf pointed out that this statement is only true if your software is already sitting on the Pareto frontier of security and user experience. But most of the time, our systems are nowhere near the frontier. They are inefficient. You actually can improve security without hurting the user experience because you are currently sitting in the suboptimal zone, just like picking Koopa in Mario Kart.
Exactly. Another user named Voidhorse added that this is the fundamental difference between just writing code and actual engineering. Engineering is about making informed trade-offs about system design, and you can only make those trade-offs properly if you understand where your Pareto frontier actually is.
And of course, someone did this for World of Warcraft. A user named UserFCNW wrote a script to find the Pareto optimal gear builds in WoW Classic. They had to use a divide and conquer algorithm because checking every combination of 15 item slots would take years of compute time. It is just so perfectly Hacker News to apply multi-objective optimization algorithms to a 20-year-old video game.
It really is. All right, let us move to our final story for the day. It's a reading list titled Crime Pays, But Botany Doesn't.
If you do not know the Crime Pays But Botany Doesn't YouTube channel, you are missing out. It's run by a guy named Joey Santore. He wanders around nature, often trespassing, filming plants while talking in this thick, hilarious Chicago accent. He curses constantly, rants about society, and drops incredibly dense, accurate botanical science.
The post that was shared on Hacker News is his guide for people who want to teach themselves botany. He breaks down why the field seems intimidating, mostly because of the Latin terminology. but explains why it is necessary. He talks about Linnaeus, the guy who created the universal naming system, and points out that common names are useless. If you say cedar, you could be talking about 8 completely unrelated plants. But if you say cedrus, every scientist in the world knows exactly what genus you mean.
He also dives into taxonomy and how plants are grouped by evolutionary relationships. He recommends some hardcore textbooks like Plant Systematics by Michael Simpson. And in true Rebel fashion, he explicitly tells his readers that if they cannot afford the expensive textbooks, they should just buy a cheap Android tablet and pirate them off Library Genesis or Sci-Hub, because the authors would not want you to be barred from learning just because you are broke.
The Hacker News comments were a mix of people praising the channel and a really intense debate about lawns. Joey is famous for his Kill Your Lawn campaign, advocating for native plants instead of manicured grass.
Yeah, a user named Andai mentioned a story about an indie game developer who actually took his city to court for the right to not mow his lawn, claiming it was free expression. That kicked off a huge thread about municipal codes, homeowner associations, and the American obsession with turf grass.
It was a very polarized thread. You had people saying that grass lawns are ecological dead zones, and we should all be planting clover and native wildflowers to support pollinators. But then you had users like Horst Sollerway pointing out the practical realities of urban living. They noted that in many areas, overgrown yards are not just an eyesore. They become breeding grounds for rats, mice, and termites that can literally destroy your neighbor's house.
It is a tough balance. Another user pointed out that a healthy ecosystem with native predators like owls and snakes would keep the rodents in check. But then someone else replied that outdoor domestic cats usually destroy that natural balance anyway. It really highlighted how complicated it is to reintroduce wild nature into human-built environments. You cannot just stop mowing your lawn and expect a perfect, pristine ecosystem to magically appear.
It takes active management, which is exactly what Joey teaches on his channel. You have to understand the ecology of your specific region, which goes right back to why learning actual botany and taxonomy is so important.
Well, that covers our top stories for today. From the bleeding edge of AI hardware and agentic models to the math of Mario Kart, the struggles of GitHub, and the chaotic GID world of gorilla botany.
Thank you all for joining us on episode 480 of HN Pod. We really appreciate you spending your time with us.
We will be back tomorrow with another breakdown of the top stories from Hacker News. Until then, maybe go plant something native in your yard, or at least optimize your Mario Kart build. Have a great day, everyone.